from St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking. Hi, everybody. This is Jason Rosenbaum, a political correspondent with St. Louis Public Radio. Cori Bush wants to return to the U.S. House of Representatives. The St. Louis Democrat announced on Friday that she's running for Missouri's St. Louis and St. Louis County-based 1st District seat. That puts her on a collision course with Congressman Wesley Bell, who defeated Bush in one of the most expensive and contentious congressional primaries in American history. Bush's decision is not a surprise. She's been active since Bell defeated her by roughly 5.5 percentage points in the August 2024 primary, and that includes assisting in relief efforts after the devastating May 16th tornado. She's also been critical of Bell, including for his continued support of Israel as their military invasion of Gaza enters its third year. In a video announcing her candidacy, Bush alluded to how groups supportive of Israel, including the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, spent millions of dollars against her re-election campaign in 2024. Shortly after her announcement went public, I spoke with Bush about why she's getting back into the electoral arena, how she plans to win back support of 1st District residents who voted against her in 2024, and why she expects the 2026 rematch to be contentious. Here's my conversation with former Congresswoman Cori Bush. So, Congresswoman,
yes.
Why run again?
I'm running again because St. Louis deserves leadership. St. Louis deserves someone with proven leadership, someone who is looking at the things that is happening right now, not only nationally, because this is a federal position, but what is happening in St. Louis? How do we show up? How do we fight? We need a fighter right now, because what is coming out of Washington, what is coming down from this administration, on top of the needs of this district, people are suffering. When we look at the way that we were already fighting for resources for St. Louis, when I was in the Congress before, we brought $2 billion to this district, and there was so much more needed. It barely made a dent for people because the need was already so great. We need more money for schools, more money for healthcare. People, we need more money for our businesses that are really trying to, our small businesses that are trying to, you know, really get on their feet. Money for housing. We have so many needs right now, and we need somebody that's going to fight. And I have already done that work. And our people who are impacted by the May 16th tornado, I have already worked in the area of disasters for this district and been able to bring home funding, got FEMA on the ground quickly. And we've done that work and we know what to do. We know how to show up. And when I think about things that could be happening right now across the country, where are the fighters? And I've been hearing that. Well, St. Louis knows. If St. Louis knows one thing about me, whether you agree with all of my policies or not, you know I'm a fighter.
So you were pretty effective at sometimes convincing the Biden administration to do what you wanted with the eviction moratorium,
yes,
as well as what you just mentioned. You actually you were able to get FEMA on the ground in University City after the flooding much quicker than usual.
Yes.
What makes you think, though, that you, if you're elected, you're going to be able to convince the Trump administration, who wants to, for instance, completely get rid of FEMA, to do things that are going to help St. Louis, given their track record so far?
So some people would think that it's easier. It's so much easier to talk to people in your own party to get them to move. Not so much, because then it looks like you're going against your party. People support you when your party is saying this is what we need, and you're in opposition to the other party. And so before, I didn't necessarily have the support when I was asking Joe Biden for the needs of St. Louis, like helping us to get the resources we needed. People saw it as, oh, she's fighting Joe Biden. No, I wasn't. I was taking care of St. Louis. Now, with the Trump administration, which I've already come out against this administration from the very beginning.
No, really?
You know?
I'm really shocked about that. But continue.
Yes, from the very beginning. And so I have already You know, I've already put that administration, you know, put them on notice that when I represent St. Louis, you're going to hear about St. Louis. And the thing is, how you do that, it takes leadership. It takes a constant fight. It is a constant day to day. I've been there. I've done it. I'm the same person who introduced the resolution. I introduced a piece of legislation to investigate and expel any member of Congress who participated in the insurrection. I did that barricaded in my office the day of the insurrection. And then a week later, stood up on the floor and called President Trump at the time the white supremacist in chief, you know. And then, you know, after that, just continue to, you know, fight for the people of this country. And but my priority being St. Louis. So the thing is, you have to fight. And as someone who's been there, I came from the streets of the Ferguson uprising. But before that, my fight was in so many other ways, just taking care of my own family, taking care of my community, working with our unhoused community members, fighting against human trafficking that people just didn't even know about. So I've been through the things that other people are going through. So I know how to fight. And the other thing is this, my work is not to look, you know, look high and mighty and, you know, look like I have status and, you know, work for a reputation. That's not my work. My work is to build St. Louis. My work is to protect St. Louis. And so that is how we will get this done. We will use all of the tools, and I have some more tools in my toolbox that I won't, Jason, right now. I won't talk about it because I want to be able to bring that out later.
You have a secret plan for St. Louis. Okay, I don't want to make this interview a complete retrospective of 2024, but there is something I've wanted to ask you for a while. When I looked at the results, I think the reason you lost is because you lost a lot of support in St. Louis County, which is quickly becoming kind of the population epicenter of this district. And also it is, I believe it is the largest concentration of African-American voters in the state by far. And you lost a lot of African-American townships. Why do you think that happened, especially since you were gaining ground when you ran against Lacey Clay, you won them in 2022, and then it just fell off a cliff? What happened?
Deceit, trickery, lies, distortion of the truth. That's what happened. Because, and I'm saying that because that's what people would say to me when they would see me. They would say, well, this ad says that you hate Joe Biden. This ad says you want children to drink contaminated water from lead pipes. This ad says, and I'm just confused, Corey. And because also when we looked at the polling, Joe Biden was polling very high in the district, very high. And so with ads that are saying that I'm anti-Joe Biden, especially at a time when, you know, people, we were trying to make sure that we held the presidency. That is what I believe happened. But what I heard so much was people were confused. So they were trying to figure out, how do I vote? And so that's the thing. Since then, though, now what I get, whether I'm in the city or the county, but definitely in the county, Cori Bush, are you Cori Bush? Would you please run? Cori Bush, I don't know you, but, you know, if I had the chance to vote again, I would have voted differently.
Yeah. Well, the fact that you are running again means that you don't think the person that beat you is doing a very good job. So I understand that, like, your announcement video was not just 10 minutes of saying Wesley Bell sucks. So far, you haven't even said his name. But, like, you're running against him. What is the argument to voters that may have voted for him in 2024 that they should consider you again?
Well, for one, when you run for office, this is just what I believe. When you run for office, you should run for office because you believe that you are the better person to deliver for that community or to represent that area. Because the person that is in the seat, maybe you feel like you can do things differently, do things better. And so that's what you run on, what I've done in the past, who I am and what I plan to do and what this person, you know, how I can be different from this person. That's not what happened in the 2024 race. It was lies, you know, talked about my record and lied about my record. But because there were the ads were there was so much money spent in ads, people believed it. I want people to hear the truth. I want them to know the truth. I want them to know what really happened with my voting record. Because when people hear it, then they're like, oh, I wish I would have known that then.
So, like, for example, we've talked about this before, infrastructure bill.
Yeah.
You voted against it.
I voted against it.
But?
I voted against it because we needed the Build Back Better Act and the infrastructure bill to go together, to ride together, to be voted on together. Because right now, the thing is this. If we had the Build Back Better Act and the infrastructure deal, people could look and see a bridge, see the bridges. You can see that happening. You can see how that is impacting your community. But there is nothing people can feel, at least not enough. And so if we would have had that, the Build Back Better Act, people would have had more money in their pockets. They would have been able to feel the difference. That investment, for that 30-year investment into our care economy would have made a difference in people's lives, so that there would not have been this massive push to support Donald Trump over the price of eggs. That's what. So I was looking at what was to come, not what was.
And then recently, like, he sent out a tweet about this. He mentioned something about you voting against a child tax credit, which I don't remember you doing, but what exactly is he talking about there?
So reading whole bills is a part of the job. Read the whole bill. And the other thing is, I guess if he feels that the ranking member of the Appropriations Committee does not know what she's talking about, you know, then I think that maybe he should go and reach out to her and understand, because that's not what was happening. There were hundreds of thousands of people about to get knocked off of SNAP. As someone who's been on SNAP, how do I vote to knock people off of SNAP and give tax credit to the billionaires? So reading the entire bill is actually what should happen. But also, I stood with those that are the ones that were pushing. We were pushing. Now, you can't contradict yourself and say, you know, talk about the tax credit when actually the investment that we really needed as it relates to the tax credit was in the Build Back Better Act. So read the bills before you come for me, because the Build Back Better Act would have given the tax credit. It would have given the free lunches. It would have given it the universal health care, which will be the first time in 100 years we would have had that. People would have been able to send their children to preschool for free or close to it.
Well, it is minute 11 and a half of this interview, and I have not mentioned what propelled all the money against you, and that is your criticism of Israel and your advocacy for Palestinian self-determination. You were the sponsor of the ceasefire resolution long before it was broadly popular. How much do you think things have changed about people's perceptions of what's going on in Gaza since you took a stand that a lot of people at the time thought was unpopular?
Yeah, you know what? I don't do things that are popular. I do things that are necessary. And I have to look at what's to come, not just what's happening. And though it may be uncomfortable, what's actually uncomfortable is starvation. What's uncomfortable is people losing their homes because bombs are dropping on them. That's what's uncomfortable. And I always say, if there was a legislator in another country that could make the decision to help, if bombs were about to drop on St. Louis, or if there was about to be a ground invasion on St. Louis, would I want that person to step up and do something because they have power to? Absolutely. And so we're seeing the tide turning. People are saying, you know what, we don't want our tax dollars being used to harm other people in another country. Why can't our tax dollars be used right here? We have needs right here. There are people still sleeping in cars, people sleeping in tents. There are people who have closed their businesses and don't have jobs. We can use that money right now in St. Louis instead of sending money, and all across the country instead of sending money to harm people. And that now people are waking up saying, you know what, had we done this earlier, we wouldn't be where we are now. People don't want to see other people killed. People don't want to see innocent people harmed. And that has nothing to do with your background or a border, your ethnicity or religion. It's humanity. And that's my purpose, is to speak up and stand up for humanity. No one can say that I only care about one group or this group over the other. My love is for all of humanity, and I'll fight for every single one.
I want to talk about kind of the upcoming tenor of this campaign, because I've said this before privately, but I'll say it publicly. It was dispiriting to see you, Wesley Bell, Maria Chappelle, and Nadal run against each other, because I've known you all since you all were involved in Ferguson.
Yeah.
And I felt it was a bummer.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
You're telling me.
Yeah. And I can't control what people do. And obviously a lot has changed, but it was an ugly race. And I think this race is going to be ugly too. I mean, in that statement I mentioned, he's already mentioned your husband and the whole bodyguard situation. I would not be surprised if you brought up your husband and the whole legal situation with him. How do you kind of like expect the tone of this race to be? Because I could see it being a repeat of 2024, which I just think was not good. Mm-hmm. But we can't control how campaigns work. And sometimes you have to have tough campaigns during tough times. It's more of an observation than a question, but I think we need to talk about that.
Yeah, well, I expect for there to be attacks. You know, I expect for him to lie again. You know, I expect for that to be the case. But the thing is, this race is bigger than the current person in the seat. This race is bigger than, just someone wanting to occupy in office. This race is about making sure that we prevent harm, we mitigate harm that we can't prevent, and that we bring and we build St. Louis. We need to bring the resources and build St. Louis. And so I'm not looking at necessarily who the person is, even though there's like doing the job, I know what it takes. I'm the one that has the experience. I'm the one. You know, I'm the one with the leadership. I'm the one with the actual true experience. Not only that, I didn't start gaining experience when I got to office. I started working on these issues well before I ever ran for office. But the tone, yes, he brings up my husband. So first of all, my husband is a private citizen, so he should not be brought into this election. He is not running for office right now. Secondly, when you to bring up something that you know nothing about as an attack, why can't you run on your record?
And I want to be clear, what he actually attacked you on, it was about paying your husband through your campaign, which I've mentioned this before, is legal as long as you're paying him fair market value. Lacey Clay paid his sister to manage his campaigns. I just need to put that as a backdrop for people that don't understand it, but continue.
And see, the thing is this, because I spoke out against Donald Trump, because I spoke so loudly and spoke up for St. Louis the way that I did, the racist attacks weren't just attacks. There were true threats on my life. And so would you rather me die? Is that it? Would you rather me die? I have security. I had security during my time in Congress because I needed security. That's why, not because I was just having people writing some stuff on the internet.
And not to interrupt, like right now, there's a lot of talk about security, especially after former Minnesota Speaker of the House was assassinated.
Yes, absolutely. And there are communities within the district who are having conversations about how to have taxpayer-funded security for their elected officials. So, so it is necessary. But this is the thing. My husband, before he was my husband, he watched my security. He saw, because he has a background, he's a veteran. He has a background in security. Not only is he a veteran, but he also has that background in security, in leadership in security. He saw and he watched how they weren't doing things that he felt was keeping me safe. So he would help them, train them, tell them to go here, do this, do that. And then after watching that for a year, when I knew I needed some more help, that's when he took over to help lead that team. So he was already doing the work. But not only that, I don't even have to explain that. My husband, this was investigated by the Office of Congressional Ethics, and we were cleared. It was a unanimous decision that there was no wrongdoing with the DOJ, which is what he is talking about, with the Department of Justice. That was investigated, and here we are.
Final question for you. 2024, I believe, was one of the most expensive primaries in the history of America. Maybe, what, top two, top three?
Our race was the second most expensive U.S. House primary in
history. Do you expect it to be pretty similar, especially if some of the groups that supported your opponent decide they want to spend millions of dollars against you again?
Well, I think that he should also think about, should he accept? Should he work with those PACs that want to buy the seat again? Because we're talking about, let's be clear, St. Louis, that the funding that Wesley Bell received, now I'm saying his name, the funding that Wesley Bell received primarily came from AIPAC.
Which, by the way, I just want to make sure we spell it out. It's the American
Israel
Public Affairs Committee.
Yes.
And I also want to say there were other, what I will just classify as pro-Israel groups that also spent, besides AIPAC, but AIPAC was clearly the one that was most involved.
Yes. And they are primarily funded by Republicans. They helped to deliver the White House for Donald Trump. They also help more, even though they're a big spender for Democrats to take out other Democrats. They primarily spend their money to help Republicans. And so you have to ask, if Wesley Bell, who was the campaign manager for a Republican who was running for Congress at one point and was trying to get a Missouri abortion ban, he was his campaign manager. If that's the case, and if this same person who donates to Republicans in Missouri and also takes all of this money from those who are primarily funded by Republicans, how is he the Democrat that we need?
Yeah, I think he would say he's not a Republican, though, and he'd probably say, like, my voting record speaks for itself. But what would be your response to that?
Well, I mean, his voting record speaks for itself as far as he could have voted to allow the vote to happen on the floor that would have started an impeachment process for Donald Trump, and he voted against that. But I'm not even calling him a Republican. What I'm saying is that he's Republican friendly. And what I'm saying is that what, you know, when you take, when $15 million is pushed into a race and those folks are trying to oust a Democrat so that they can have a Democrat that is someone who befriends Republicans in a different way, then, like, the question is why? Why? The other question is, why would they spend it's not just AIPAC, these are other groups as well, crypto and others. Why would they take the time to spend $15 million in a deep blue seat to remove a Democrat from a seat when they could have used that money to help flip a seat that was a Democrat to a Republican? They didn't do that. Why is that? Because they knew they had a true fighter in this seat, and they did not want me there to be the one to fight against Project 2025.
That was former Congresswoman Cori Bush talking with me about her decision to run against Congressman Wesley Bell in the 2026 Democratic primary for the 1st Congressional District. You can read all of our stories about Missouri, Illinois, and St. Louis politics by going to stlpr.org. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, and thank you for listening. From St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking.